Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Raya, Prabhupada, Raya. Jaya, Vishnava, Prabhupada, Vigacharya, Sarasi, Sivadesi, Bhaktivedanta, Samasita, Prabhupada, Nijai, Namacharya, Haridas, Thakur, Gijai, Ramsagaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shasagor, Bhakti Vrindagi Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Govira Shama Kunda Radha Kudda Gidiga Vrindan Ki Jai, Srivandavan Dhan Ki Jai, Navadvip Dhan Ki Jai, Gaung Jamona Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindagi Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindagi Jai, Go Premanandi, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled All glories to the same of the world, these all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Vadale Shivani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shwasri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading for Ram Shrimad Bhavan Canto 10, chapter 49, verse 12. Nanyatava parambhujat Pasyami sharanam dranam Bibhyatam mrityu samsarad Isparas apa vargikat Na, no, anyat, other, tava, your, pada ambujat, than the lotus feet, pasyami, I see, sharanam, shelter, nirnam, four men, bibhyatam, fearful, mrityu, of death, samsara, and rebirth. Ishwarasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, apabhagikat, which give liberation. Translation, for persons fearful of death and rebirth, I see no shelter other than your liberating lotus feet, for you are the Supreme Lord. Text 13, I offer my obeisances unto you, Krishna, the Supreme Pure, the Absolute Truth, and the Supersoul, the Lord of pure devotional service, and the source of all knowledge. I come to you for shelter. Purport, Srila Sridhar Swami has translated the word yogaya as unto Krishna, the source of knowledge. The word yoga indicates connection and also a means to achieve something. As conscious souls, we have a connection with the Supreme Soul through bhakti or devotion. Through that relationship, we experience perfect knowledge of the Supreme Soul. Since the Supreme Soul is the absolute truth, perfect knowledge of Him means perfect knowledge of everything. As stated in Mundaku Upanishad, Kasmin Bhagavo Vigyate Saran Idam Vigyatam Bhavati. When the Absolute is understood, everything is understood. Thus, Lord Krishna Himself, by His spiritual potency, establishes our connection with Him, and that connection is the source of all spiritual knowledge. Thus, Acharya Sridhar, by His thoughtful translation, stimulates us to a deeper understanding of Krishna through understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. I offer my obeisances unto you, Krishna, the Supreme Pure, the Absolute Truth, and the Supersoul, the Lord of pure devotional service and source of all knowledge. I have come to you for shelter. So this is a statement of Kunti Devi praising Krishna, even though Krishna is not present. Only Akura is present, but by remembrance of Krishna, then she offers her respects here. So, Namaha Krishnaya. So, as is often done when there is giving of respects, then there are various modifying phrases to describe Supreme Lord, and thus to praise Him by using different words to indicate the identity of Krishna. So directly, of course, she mentions Krishna's name here. Previous verse, of course, this verse here, she simply talked about how Krishna can liberate one from birth and death and fear of samsara, etc. Now, in the next verse, Nama Krishnaya Sudaya, then she begins to offer respects to Krishna for various reasons. Some of these we see are, we could say, secondary in one sense. Brahmane Paramatmane. I offer my respects to Brahmana and Paramatma, Brahman expansion and Paramatma expansion, as well as Krishna or Bhagavan. In another, we can take that in another way, that Krishna is the ultimate feature of the Lord, and Brahman feature and Paramatma feature are simply expansions of Him. So in this way, it is a praise of Krishna rather than a praise of Brahman and Paramatma. Other people, of course, may take it the opposite way. She's offering respects to Krishna, but actually she thinks that Krishna is Brahman or Paramatma. But
If we look at the import of the Bhagavatam by its context, even though it says Advaya Jnana, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, Bhagavan is taken to be superior because the Brahman aspect is often condemned. And as we see, the devotees don't really want to accept that as an aspect or as the goal of their sadhana. Rather, they reject it as being insignificant as compared to relationship with Bhagavan. So based on the context of the Bhagavatam, when we talk about Brahman, it is always considered to be a secondary feature. But it is mentioned because many people have this understanding. They think of the Supreme as Brahman. But yes, Krishna is Brahman, but of course he is more than that as well. So, and Brahman is one of his aspects, but inferior aspect. This, of course, is made very clear in the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, where he doesn't even talk about Brahman. He has a Paramatma Sandarbha and a Bhagavat Sandarbha, but he doesn't have a Brahman Sandarbha at all, because he considers it not so important for the devotees. And it's relegated to an inferior position in the Bhagavatam, since it is rejected by the devotees and avoided by the devotees. So he doesn't concentrate on it. Apart from that, it is very difficult to describe Brahman because it has no features, it has no qualities, has no form, etc. So, though she mentions Brahman and Paramatma here, her understanding, of course, is that Krishna is the source of all of these, or he is the foundation of Brahman and Paramatma. So in this way, it's the praise of Krishna also. Not that he's actually completely subservient to Brahman or Paramatma, as others may think. And she says also, Nama Krishnaya Sudaya. She calls Krishna Sudha. Meaning pure. Of course, the Lord by nature is pure, but by mentioning this word, she indicates that Krishna, though he has a form, he has qualities, he has activities, and he is a relative of the Yadus, he's not a material body. He is Sudha. He is purely spiritual. And thus, mentioned in the words Brahman and Paramatma, which are definitely non-material, indicate that Krishna, though he looks material because he has a form, qualities, and activities, and he relates with the Yadus as like a human being, he is not human at all. He's fully spiritual in his form. So therefore, when you say Nama Krishnaya Sudaya, it has some significance to show that Krishna is personal, but at the same time, he is not material. He is supreme. So his personal aspects can in no way relegate him to an inferior position. So that is what is done with Shankara's philosophy. We have Brahman as the absolute with no form and no qualities and no activities, and an acceptance of Vishnu and Krishna with their form, qualities, and activities on an inferior level as representing that Brahman, but those form, qualities, and activities are material. They're sattva, material sattva. So he accepts the form of the Lord, but puts him in, on an inferior position to Brahman, and consequently he puts him in a material level. So a statement like this will negate that type of attitude. So Nama Krishnaya Sudaya. He is pure. He has a form, qualities, and activities, but he is beyond material gunas, material nature. And he is also Brahman and Paramatma, but he is the personal form of that. And then she calls him Yogeshwara and Yoga. Yogeshwaraya Yogaya. He is the Lord of Yoga. So of course, Yoga has many meanings. It could mean Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Astanga Yoga, whatever. Often it does mean The Ashtanga Yoga, where we say Yogeshwareshwara, he is the master of all masters of yoga. So in other words, he's superior to all the great yogis. But then we have the word Yogeshwara, he is the master of yoga. So that, of course, could mean he is also the master of Ashtanga Yoga, and whatever Ashtanga Yogis have that he also has. Or we can take the word yoga as not being Ashtanga Yoga at all. We can take it as Bhakti Yoga. He is the master of Bhakti Yoga, the source of and the controller of Bhakti Yoga, which is also very acceptable to us. And of course, from the point of view of Kunti Devi, it is also a praise of Krishna, since he is the source of bhakti. So this is a, in that sense, it becomes a personal description, and is a praise for Krishna as Bhagavan. Of course, then we can have another meaning of that, a yoga meaning, to come together, to join together. So he is the one who causes us to join together. In other words, Kunti Devi is longing to see Krishna, and says, why doesn't Krishna come and help us? So it is suitable to say that Krishna is the one who can cause union or meeting. So therefore he should do that. He should have us arrange for a meeting between us and him. So in that sense, Yogeshwara has another meaning, which is also very acceptable, because she is longing to see Krishna. Then we have the word Yogaya. Krishna himself is called Yoga. And here the purport explains that Sridhar Swami says that it means the source of knowledge. Obviously, the what we call the Upanishads, the Shrutis, they often call this supreme entity Brahman as knowledge itself. It is pure knowledge. Of course, then we extend that by not talking about Brahman, but talking about Krishna, and he is also knowledge. Of course, we can say Satchitananda, etc., eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So, the nature of Bhagavan is he is full of all knowledge. He is omniscient, sarvajna, at all times. Of course, and we also have the definition of Bhagavan. He has six qualities. And one is jnana, all knowledge. He is all knowledge. Of course, he's jnana, aishvarya, etc. He's all knowledge, power, and beauty, etc. But knowledge is one of the aspects of the Lord. So, therefore, even the Vaishnavas will equate Krishna with knowledge. By contacting Krishna, then we also get all knowledge. Of course, yoga also has, maybe you can say, he is the non-different from the process of Bhakti Yoga itself. Since Bhakti Yoga is Nirguna, and it arises from his Sarup Shakti, internal energy. So it is non-different from him. It is his very self. So we can say Krishna is also Bhakti Yoga, because it is his Sladini and Samvit Shaktis. So that's another way of taking it as well. So in this way, Kunti Devi offers her respects to Krishna, and at the same time, by using these different terms, she is giving praise to Krishna. And therefore she says, I surrender unto you because of your particular nature. In the previous verse, this verse here, she says that everyone should surrender unto you, unto your lotus feet, because they deliver us from death and samsara, etc. That, of course, is one aspect of the Lord, that he can destroy karma, etc., and deliver one from the cycle of birth and death. But that is not the feature that the devotees desire. They often pray, I will take birth and death continually in the material world as long as I have service to you. So the real, for devotees, is not so. For other people, of course, yes. They want to get free of material miseries. So therefore, liberation from the material world is their desire. And so they'll pray to the Lord for that. So this verse here is meant for normal people in the material world. It'd be attractive to them. How do we get rid of all of our miseries? We surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. And those lotus feet of Krishna can deliver you from samsara. So that is a general praise meant to attract people of this material world. But at the same time, devotees are not so attracted to that aspect. They only want to serve the Lord and try to please the Lord. So, in this verse, next verse, 13, she says, I surrender to you. Not because of simply trying to get free of material energy, and not simply to get relief from the harassment of Duryodhana, etc. But she offers her respects to Krishna, who is the master of bhakti yoga, who is bhakti yoga itself, who is all knowledge, etc. She directly mentions Krishna name, calling him Sudha. So, in other words, she's offering respects to Bhagavan, who is full of all wonderful qualities. Though we can define Bhagavan as having these six qualities, power, virya, and yasa, and sri, etc., jnana. Another definition is also given. Which in one sense is a little more appropriate, because simply to define Bhagavan as one who has all power, all knowledge, is more applying to the greatness of the Lord or his Paramatma feature. Another definition is given, and that is Ba, Ga, and Va. The three syllables are taken, and they are explained in relation to the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we get, we can say, a different type of meaning for that. For instance, we'd simply take the word Va at the end for Bhagavan. So Va stands for Vas, and Vas means to live. The Lord lives in the devotees, and the devotees live in the Lord. So the Lord is always thinking of the devotees, and the devotees are always thinking of the Lord. So that's how the word Va gets explained. And Ga is Gamayata, which means to make go, literally. Or to attain. So the Lord endows the devotees with spiritual bodies in the spiritual world. He gives prema, etc. In this way, he explains the word Ga. In this way, we have a very more personal explanation of the word Bhagavan. And of course, Bhagavan could be any form of the Lord. It could be the Vishnu form, or Narasimha form, or Rama form, or whatever. Here in the context, it refers to Krishna. Kunti Devi is addressing Krishna. So he is that Supreme Lord, full of all wonderful qualities, and who responds to his devotees and nourishes his devotees, etc. A more personal description of Bhagavan is meant when Kunti Devi addresses Krishna. And so that is how we can take this verse. It is more personal than simply glorifying Krishna because he delivers you from samsara or as master of yoga or whatever. So in this way, Kunti Devi is remembering Krishna only. Krishna is not present, yet through this, her speech, we can understand her great longing for the Supreme Lord, longing in separation. And for the Pandavas particularly, completely, they've never seen the Lord. All they do is hear of him, etc. So they also are of the same type of mentality. They long to see Krishna, but they haven't met him yet. So this is one type of separation from the Lord, and not having met him at all. But we see the feelings are very, very strong. And that is expressed here in this verse.
But can you explain this Brahman, like, you know, which is all pervading? Brahman, which is all pervading, you know. Can you explain? We don't know. Maybe Kuntide was saying, like, you know, which is all pervading. He is everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. Can you say also that?
Oh, well, actually, we can say Brahman is everywhere because Brahman means the greatest. The greatest is all pervading. And therefore, he's everywhere. So that's the formless aspect. Then we have Bhagavan. He is also everywhere. He's also pervading everywhere. Paramatma, of course, is everywhere in the material world because he's, you know, got his form everywhere in all the jivas and whatever. So any aspect of the Supreme Lord would be all pervading and whatever like that, everywhere. So this is one aspect of the Lord that differentiates him from matter and jivas. Matter, of course, is limited in all ways. And jivas, though they are similar to the Lord in having consciousness, they're not all-pervading. They're not vibhu. They're not everywhere. They're a limited size. The Lord is unlimited. So whether it is Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, they're all-pervading.
You know, although this Kuntideva was speaking with Akrura, but it seems that, you know, when Kuntideva was speaking with Akrura, I think she became completely different. Now she, I don't think so. She is feeling that Akrura is present here, and here Kunti is directly, you know, speaking with like Krishna here. Verse is saying like this, you know, you are like this, like this, like this. You know, seems that she is directly speaking with Krishna here.
She is.
Directly speaking with Krishna.
Yeah, as if he's there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's feel like this, you know, because directly addressing Krishna here, not Akrura.
Yeah. So that shows her great attraction for him, that even though she's not there, she's speaking as if he is there. So that's a sign of her, you know, great attachment or ecstasy. Just as we see the people of Vrindavan, when Krishna is not there, then they will call out to him and offer respects, etc., even though he's not there, expecting him to hear. Or we find in the case of, when Uddhava was there, the gopis were in such a state that they would call out to Krishna as well. So that's because of their great attachment. In separation, they actually believe he's there.
And also, you know, all the water are using the dative case, you know, fourth case, all the everything you are using. Yogeshwarayo, you know.
With Namaha.
Namaha, yeah.
So then the word Namaha, of course, means that offering respects. So it indicates her surrender to Krishna, expressing her devotion by surrendering.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Krishna Govinda, Govinda Krishna, Govinda Govinda, Krishna Govinda, Govinda Krishna, Govinda Govinda, Ye Gopal Radha Krishna, Govinda Govinda.